Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Earlier this week, the report from the Ad Hoc Committee on Short-Term Rentals in Alnwick-Haldimand Township was officially brought before the Planning Committee of Council. Councillors deferred any action to give politicians and the public a chance to give more input and take into account the numerous delegations that appeared at the meeting. Many delegates and council members spoke about the divisive nature of the issue and the need to get it right. Have a listen and see what you think. I'm so pleased to have with me today Michael Ainsworth, chairperson of the Short-Term Rental Ad Hoc Committee and a member of council for Alnwick-Haldimand. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Robert.
Let's start with the committee. Can you give us the background that led to the formation of this ad hoc committee and its mandate?
Well, the committee started because of the short-term rental bylaw that the township has existing right now. And through canvassing, there was a lot of concerns about short-term rentals. And so it was part of my mandate and other councillors to look at this short-term rental and figure out if the bylaw was needed to be changed, or it was okay, or was it the bylaw, or was it just enforcement that was the issue or something. So that's kind of where the ad hoc committee ended up with. So we put an advertisement out to get people on the committee that we wanted to have a little bit of a mix, like people that were for short-term rentals, people that were against short-term rentals, and kind of people in the middle. And so we ended up with a good group. And we had, I believe, 5 meetings before we ended up with our recommendations.
What were some of the things you were hearing as you were campaigning back in the fall?
Well, really, the complaint part of the short-term rentals was very few compared to the amount that we know of that we have in the municipality. So I think right now we know we have about 51 in the municipality, and we have about 5 that are problematic ones. So wherever I canvassed in those areas, I definitely got the impression that there was issues on the short-term rentals in those areas. And I want to say that not every time in these same places was it a problem. Every time, it was just certain times that people were in vacationing there at these short-term rentals. And sometimes the clients were a problem.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation about the committee and how it was chosen. And you mentioned you felt that it was balanced in its representation. One of the complaints by opponents is that the committee did not have a balanced representation of business people or operators. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's in my opinion, that's not what it was at all. We had a good balance, and then 2 people had to quit the committee. And that left us too shy. And the ad hoc committee was only for, we wanted to get it done, within a timely basis. And the process to getting 2 more people to fill those spots would take longer than the ad hoc committee was going to be established. So we went with what we had, and we made all the decisions, and everything was a recorded vote.
Now, you've already mentioned that there were 5 meetings that were held over a 2-month period. Now, it may seem to some people that That's a very short period of time, given the complexity of the issue. How is it that the committee was able to make these recommendations in such a short period of time?
Well, the existing bylaw we had, you have to understand that if past council, and I'm not here to pick on anybody, but I'm just saying that the new council's mandate is to make sure that bylaw enforcement is important to us. And if we had more follow up, maybe. And I'm not criticizing our bylaw department. I'm just saying that our mandate for this council is to make sure that we get proper bylaw enforcement. And if that had been maybe a mandate for past councils, we might not be here having this conversation right now, because we really only had five, maybe seven problematic short-term rentals is the reason this whole thing came about. So I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, because we've got, if the other 46 are good, or the 45 have been doing it good and been good neighbors, then that's really what it's all about.
One of the major questions is where to allow short-term rentals. Now, in the previous bylaw, it was very restrictive. There's a huge list that limits where these short-term rentals can be created. The committee is proposing to allow short-term rentals in more places. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, I can a little bit without my notes in front of me, Robert. Now, we did open up quite a bit more as a recommendation. And I think when you look at the whole big picture, who can and who can't, I honestly don't know. And I would have to have a solicitor's answer on this, if we can really determine who can and who can't, and what criteria we would have to have as a council to say that, Shoreline Residential is you can't have a short-term rental there, but you can have it in rural residential or agricultural. So we opened them up to where we think we could win that argument, and we'll see, and then council will make their decision.
When we think of short-term rentals, we imagine people's homes, cottages, maybe an apartment, but the committee looked at something called unserviced nature retreats. Can you tell us what these are and why it was discussed?
So the nature retreats are it's almost like the glamping title, and we do have a couple of those in our municipality, and they're actually not under the short-term rental. They don't actually qualify as a short-term rental under the bylaw, but they're here and we need to address them. So we address them in the zoning bylaw. So and that was the purpose of that, was to, because a lot of people are like this nature retreat stuff, so it's there. We have some people doing it, and we might as well work with them. And then instead of them trying to, hide from the bylaw and maybe try to skim through without no one noticing them. But I think it's a valid option for people to stay. And I think it's and some of the committee already kind of have gone and visited these nature retreats and use them themselves. So I think it would be a great asset to our tourism.
Now, fees were a big item for opponents. What's your committee's recommendation in this regard?
Well, the fee structure was set up. When you look at the existing bylaw, it was a licensing fee was $750. If you didn't have a license and got caught, it was $500. So that didn't make any sense. It should actually be $750 for the fee or whatever we come up with, but maybe double if you don't have a license, not less, because then everybody's just kind of going, well, we'll just pay the fee if we get caught, it's less. So we wanted to highlight that. And some of the fees that are there for any of the, complaints or number of complaints and parking and inspections and stuff like that, I don't see those changing, but they're there for a reason. I mean, we're trying to I think I think when council first brought the bylaw out, they were looking at the fact that the fees would pay for the enforcement. You know, it shouldn't have to be on the residents, the residents back to pay for the fees through their taxes kind of thing. So we should be setting this thing whole up to kind of look after itself.
One of the things we've already talked about that I think is so important is this idea of a compliance. There is nothing in the recommendations that speaks to bylaw complaints such as noise and parking. What is going to be done to address residents' concerns when it comes to some of the negatives we know go on in short-term rentals? How is that going to be handled going forward?
Well, I think the residents have to give this council a chance to show that we mean business when it comes to bylaw enforcement. And this council is moving towards that. So I would just ask residents that, you know, give this council a chance to let us do what we say we're going to do. And I think if that happens, then I think mostly all these complaints are going to go to the wayside. And I think, you know, time will tell, but it's our mandate to make sure that we do bylaw enforcement.
As a counselor, speaking for yourself, how strict do you want enforcement to be? What's your attitude towards enforcement?
I want it to be very strict. I think we've been dealing with this now for a while, and I think we've got the problematic places. They need to be addressed, and I think we need to take a stern hand to it to show that we mean business. And to show the residents that we mean business, and we're going to make sure that their privacy and their home and stuff is not going to be invaded through disrespectful people that are coming in to rent these things from, because some of them live 10 feet apart, some of these cottages and stuff, and they're 10 feet from the person beside them that has to put up with how they're acting. So I understand that, and the council understands that. So we are definitely going to look after this.
How far are you prepared to go?
Well, I think we've got the bylaw, and we've got to police the bylaw, you know, and there's fines, there's suspensions, and I think we need to do that.
Are you prepared to hire more officers, bylaw enforcement officers?
You know, in my opinion, it's not the opinion of the council, but my opinion, yes, I would be.
And what about the costs involved?
Well, hopefully it would, kind of even itself out from the fines to the cost.
How far are you prepared to go with homeowners in terms of those who violate and maybe are repeat offenders? How far are you prepared to go?
Well, I would say that we just have to let the bylaw deal with that and go to what the bylaw says on repeat offenders. There's some suspensions there in the bylaw, and there's avenues for the owners to dispute the suspension. So I think that's our basis, is that bylaw, or whatever we end up with is the only thing we're going to have to be able to police that.
If someone's persistent in being a repeat offender, are you prepared to shut them down?
I would be, yes. Yeah.
So you've had 27 complaints. How many people have been charged under the existing bylaw in regards to those 27 complaints?
I'm going to say none, to my knowledge.
So what does that tell you then about the system?
Well, I want to go back to it, to past how maybe the importance of it has been. And I think, like I say, this council is totally different on where they want to go with it. We heard it out there canvassing, and we want to deal with it. We totally understand the respect of residents out there that live beside these things. And I think the intent of the short-term rental was never for people to come and to party and shoot off firecrackers and stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and think they can make noise and trespass and garbage and just general disrespect. That's not what it was to be. And although people want to, you know, maybe come out from the city and come to the rural areas and in the country and have some fun. But again, we, you know, again, these, some of these places are 10 feet from the residents that live beside them. And you have to respect that. And we have to respect their privacy.
You mentioned earlier about the economic benefits and the impact on tourism. Now, operators argue that there are numerous examples of the importance of these operations in bringing money into the community. How far are you prepared to go in terms of not just supporting what's out there now and getting that under control, but an expansion of short-term rentals? Where do you stand on that?
Well, again, it would be whatever the bylaw would allow for whatever we come up with and end up with when it comes to these different zones. Oh. And right now, this exact question came up. Our deputy clerk and our planning looked into it, and it's not something that we can control through the law. We don't have that. It looks like we don't have the right to put a cap on how many short-term rentals we can allow or not allow.
That's significant then in terms of being able to control it. How do you balance that out? Because obviously you're responsible for enforcement, which takes bylaw enforcement officers, and that has a cost associated with it. There's prosecution. There's all that follow-up that goes with it. How do you balance that and the cost to taxpayers? And then the fact that you can't say, well, you know, we're going to limit it to say 100 or 200 or, you know, 50 or whatever it is. How do you do that?
Well, if the percentage of bad versus good operators doesn't get carried away, I honestly, you know, if we have 100, maybe we only get 10 complaints. You know, I want to reiterate that, you know, the vast majority of these short-term rentals that we know of, and we know there's more out there, but we're not even hearing about them because they're not a problem. So if we heard about them and they weren't licensed, yeah, we might catch up to them. But you know, we're looking at new avenues how to find short-term rentals in the Airbnb website, and get the addresses and names to where these ones that we don't know that are out there. So we've had some of our committee members come back and say, you know, I went on the Airbnb and website, and it depends on what you punch in. But they say there might be 270, 280 in our municipality. So if we have that many in our municipality already, and I'm just saying that because, you know, of the question that came up and one of the committee members said about going on and looking on the Airbnb website. I mean, so if they're out there and we're not hearing about them, I mean, those are the ones that we want that are actually looking after it. And doing it the right way. We just need to get them to be legal.
Well, it's interesting too, because I mean, you may be a cottage owner and, you know, you have a bunch of friends and they come up and they use your cottage. And how are they different than somebody who charges somebody? Or, you know, maybe I want to buy a cottage and I've only got 3 weeks holiday, so I rent it out the rest of the time, you know. How do you sort through all of the variations, I guess, on what is a short-term rental and when does it need to be licensed and when is it just something else other than?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a good answer for that question, Robert, because, I mean, you're absolutely right. People could have family over and friends over, and friends could use somebody's cottage just because they're good buddies. And it's hard enough. We feel that's going to be a big enough task just to try to find the ones that are out there to make them legal, let alone the ones that all these people just say, yeah, go use my cottage for the weekend, families and friends and buddies and stuff. So, but you're right. It's the same idea. It's just that they're not paying for it.
Another critique of short-term rentals is the impact on affordable housing. Now, the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, or the CMHC, has released reports saying short-term rentals drive up housing prices, forcing housing prices up. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I've never really spent my time to try to you know, just to go in to look at that kind of housing and stuff. But I do know if you talk to most short-term rentals, the difference between the short-term rental and long-term rental is like it's not even an argument for them, because they've had so many bad issues with long-term rentals. You know, sometimes they get people in renting their house, renting their cottage, renting an apartment, and they destroy it, or they're just bad neighbors or bad tenants, and they can't get them out. You know, it's, the process is way too long, and it usually costs the owner to get them out. So it's a valid argument on both sides, and I definitely see both sides.
Just for people who may not understand the process, this week is just a planning committee meeting. That's not anything final is going to be decided. It's just an opportunity to discuss and then create a recommendation that'll go before council. Have I got that process right, or am I missing some steps?
No, I believe you're right. Yeah.
So, sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't think council is going to make any decisions tonight. They'll get everything. And I'm sure as normal, we get our agenda ahead of time, read it all, make our notes. So we'll just see where it goes tonight.
And then in terms of next steps then and public input, there will be another meeting where people can come and speak, and council is going to discuss it again before a final decision is made?
I can't answer that because I don't know right at this moment.
Okay. Michael Ensworth.
Yes.
I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Awesome. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for having me on. And again, I would just ask that, you know, residents give this council a chance to do what we said we're going to do for them. And we're going to look after short-term rentals and enforcement.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
That was Michael Ainsworth, chair of the Ad Hoc Committee on Short-Term Rentals and an Alnwick Haldimand councillor. Council will revisit the issue at its June 6th meeting. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.